Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
You know, I think part of this is realizing I don't actually like to cook unless there's a lot of people in the kitchen with me, and because I'm a collaborative person.
During the holidays, you may feel obligated to keep up with everyone's expectations. Sherry Gregory describes how her family worked through that to create a less stressful experience on Focus on the Family Minute.
And so when I started realizing, hang on, I'm in the kitchen all by myself, everybody else is out someplace else having fun, I'm in here feeling persecuted, but I have to do it this way because it's the way we've always done it, it was so helpful to realize, you know, let me figure out who could help me with different dishes. And so I started divvying up some of the dishes and inviting them. I think this is so important, is we have it all in our head, we don't ask for help, we don't let other people know the expectations, and we think our expectations are the only ones in the room. And we finally sat down and said, let's talk about what we really need. Let's all talk about what it really takes to make this a good holiday.
More from Sherry at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Another tenant emergency? With MPM Property Management, help is always just one call away. Our on-staff general contractor and broker handle maintenance issues quickly and professionally with 24/7 emergency support. From leasing to maintenance, we're here for you. No hidden fees, no surprises, just rely. Reliable service, happy tenants, and peace of mind for property owners. MPM Property Management. We handle the hard stuff so you don't have to. Visit PasoPM.com or call today.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Once in a rare while, there's a rest of the story that beggars even my imagination. This one does that. And when I'm finished telling you what I'm about to tell you, I want you to realize that I'd never have related this story had it not been confirmed with at least three independent sources. Here we go. May 12, 1863, Civil War battlefield in Virginia. Captain L.G. Capers waited to do his duty. Captain Capers was a field surgeon for the Union Army, and he realized much to his distaste that regardless of the battle's outcome, there'd always be work for him. Now, at the edge of the battlefield, about a mile from the nearest village, was a mansion. On its porch stood the mistress of the house and her two daughters, watching, waiting anxiously to see if there might be somebody they could assist, somebody wounded. By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the battle was raging within 100 yards of the mansion. Captain Capers, the surgeon, looked up suddenly, startled by a high-pitched scream, which he had not heard in war before. Moments later, the woman from the mansion was standing out of breath at his side. It was her daughter, she gasped. One of her daughters had been shot. Well, the captain hurried back with her to the mansion. He discovered that indeed the 17-year-old girl had a jagged bullet wound in her abdomen. Capers dressed the injury as best he could and prescribed something for pain, and then he had to rush back to his regiment, calling over his shoulder that he'd be back to look in on the girl later if he could. Now, it's several days after that. Captain Capers' brigade set up headquarters in a nearby village, so he was able to make good on his promise. Returning to the mansion, he was dismayed to learn that the teenager with the gunshot wound had developed peritonitis. He followed the case closely after that, returning to check on the progress of his young patient almost every day. The girl eventually recovered, and after she had recovered, months later, Captain Capers returned to relate the rest of the story. Now, he was on the battlefield when the shot that had wounded the girl was fired, and although he could not see who fired it, he could tell by the line of fire that the bullet, before reaching the young lady, had first passed through a young soldier. Captain Capers had been standing not far from this young man when it had happened, and since no bullet was ever retrieved from the fallen soldier, the girl was probably carrying it somewhere inside her, which is why something else had occurred. You see, the soldier had been wounded. Well, the bullet carried clean away one of the young man's reproductive glands. And that same bullet wounded the 17-year-old girl in the uterus, and thus medically, verifiably, was the young lady impregnated by a man she had never met. The two did meet subsequently, and almost as miraculously, they fell in love and married, and they had two other children by means more convenient. And further, to corroborate the circumstances of the original pregnancy, soon after that first infant was virgin-born, 278 days after the battle, it developed a curious swelling that necessitated surgery, and in the process of treating that swelling, there was removed from the baby a bullet. No, in medical annals, nothing like this had ever happened before, nor surely will it ever happen again. For the young love that blossomed in the arid earth of hatred was inspired by an unknown Cupid who fired a magic bullet, the only bullet in any war that ever gave a life. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Today, I'm fortunate enough to have John Pashant, County Supervisor. There have been some wild things at the Board of Supervisors, so I had to have him in to go over it. We were talking about a 100-unit development was proposed in outside of Pismo Beach. Pismo Beach wants to control it because they're in the sphere of influence, but it's in the county. They have been pushing no growth in that area right now, but again, it's in the county. They have enough water. And there's things that the state does. So you're supposed to have a certain amount of sewer to do a private sewer, and they're probably about 40% higher than that. But here's the thing. You're doing low income. The state waives a lot of these things. So the project does look like it's well thought out. It's done by a number of developers. So you have Jimmy Paulding and Bruce Gibson saying, oh, no, we can't accept the application now. We can't do this. We can't do that. Let's block this until later. And then you have Dawn Ortiz Lake, and she slaughtered him. She looked over at him, and she said, you push low-cost housing over and over again, and every time it comes to us, all you do is give pushback.
And it's been going on for 9 years. I've been on the board 9 years. I'm almost 10 years. It keeps going on.
But she literally said,
yeah,
I'm done. I'm just going to vote for it.
Yeah.
And they were like stunned. Raised your hand.
We need the houses. We have young families that need the houses. And they're mobile. They can't leave our county. And they are, they want to work here. I mean, if you think about it, the 2,000 employees at whatever it is at Diablo Canyon, these are highly skilled, highly trained individuals. Their families are all here. They want to stay here, and now we have a 5-year, up until 2030 we can, but we'd like to get it to 2045 to be able to have an extension so we can continue to produce power for the rest of the state.
And there are a lot of things happening with the wind energy. It isn't looking good right now.
Those are federal leases, right? And I'm fairly certain that I have read multiple quotes from the President of the United States on the federal leases and the wind power.
And there are those that think, get Trump out of office and it'll come back, but there's other things going on. I will have some people on in the next couple of weeks talking about it. But there are things going on with the federal government right now that we might know about in about 3 weeks. But I want to bring another county.
That'd be a good show.
I want to bring another county issue up.
Yes, sir. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sir. I know my hair's short, but please.
Not as short as mine.
You have hair? Anyway, the other interesting thing for someone that watches the board meetings was this argument over a bridge. And what had happened was there was a a neighborhood back in rural Arroyo Grande. There's about 25 homes back there. And their bridge washed out years ago, like 3 years ago.
The bridge that they used to get to Arroyo Grande.
Yeah.
There's actually two bridges that get them out of their neighborhood, but one of them washed out. That's the one closest to the city of Arroyo Grande.
And it takes them about 15 minutes longer, 10 to 15, to get where they're going. So Jimmy Paulding said, and this all started about 2 years ago. They're going to have a permanent bridge in around 27, but Jimmy, and they can't even do a temporary bridge during certain times. So Jimmy wanted to put a temporary bridge in just for 8 months at a cost of $800,000 to the county. We're going to get back to that. We have a caller waiting.
We do. Outstanding.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
Oh, I got multiple things, but hello, Karen, John.
Hey, Greg.
Budget, building, resources. So, in the budget, we don't have money for roads, but we have money for the Bob Jones Trail. We don't have resources, and John, could you tell the listeners or anybody, the county just came up with $99,000 to pay, and let's just round off, $100,000 to pay for their portion of the last 6 months of this make-believe water authority in the Paso Basin. So it didn't have the money in the budget, but they somehow came up with $100,000 from administrative costs that was taken from the grant money. So they illegally use grant money, unless you tell me I'm wrong. Did you guys have a vote to give $100,000 to pay what the county owed?
I'm fairly certain we did not, because I guarantee you would have called me and let me know that it was in there in the budget, Greg. So no.
So the 218 process, it failed. The county never thought what they were going to do if it was going to fail, because it wasn't supposed to fail. It was supposed to go forward. That's why they did that process.
And they had it wired, remember, Greg?
Yeah, and now they have to come up with another $100,000 for the next 6 months. Do you guys have that in the budget?
No, not that I'm aware of, but I'm going to ask that question not this coming Monday, but the next Monday before the board meeting, I will ask. You bet.
So when Paso Robles is building more homes, that everybody needs homes. We understand that. But when the building process costs so much to even put a shovel in the ground, we don't have any pre-approved plans. We don't have any kind of mechanism for people to use their own land to do anything. I could build, which I've sent you pictures, I could build you a 320-square-foot container house for probably $30,000-$40,000.
Yep.
And they need $400,000 or $500,000 to redo an apartment at Motel 6.
Mm-hmm.
And they put Tom Baudet out of a job because he can't leave the light on. So, and Mr. Gibson, he's not running again, so he's on these different committees. Isn't he a lame duck?
Well, he's got another year, right? So whoever takes his place will get sworn in January 2027. And
correct.
Whoever
so,
wins
so during
the,
yeah. 2026, mm-hmm. when he's trying to finish up whatever,
yep.
he's walking as a crippled duck because he's no good no more.
But remember, it just takes three votes. And I got to admit, having 6 years of being in the three versus the two was a lot more fun than being in the two.
But you're getting Don Ortiz leg. I've seen her repeatedly vote with you and not with Bruce.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, but that's part of the thing is, I think when you come along and you actually see that you ask for something, you get it. And then you get it, and what you just spoke about for here a little while, Karen, is then you vote against what you asked for.
Yeah.
And so
didn't we see that, Greg, when we put together the plan? Yeah, we put together the plan.
We do different things, and we did them, and then when we get there, all of a sudden we get this pushback.
Yep.
Okay, now what were you trying to say?
That's what we saw when we did the water basin plan. When we first started out with the cooperative committee, we got everybody together. We came up with a plan. The plan was approved by everybody in the basin. We went to the Department of Water Resources, took the plan. They, you know, made a couple changes, and then they approved the plan. And then it gets thrown out. It just, we're not going to do it.
No, the plan didn't get thrown out. The process was the people in charge right now are not following the plan. And then they came up with another mechanism to try to subvert the plan with the projects they wanted.
Yep.
And so here we are now. So I don't know how many people
It was trying to raise taxes, wasn't it, Greg?
We had an agreement with the DWR for $7.6 million. And the county, and not just the county, all the agencies and their staff people and whatever, they misappropriated funds to spend on this 218 process that was illegal.
Right.
And Greg, we've got a couple things we've got to talk about. I want to finish with the Jimmy Paulding, and then we're going to go into the budget issues. You have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Greg.
Yeah, I want to finish on this. So tell me what you think of putting in a bridge at $100,000 a month so a group of people don't have to wait 15 minutes to get across another bridge.
Okay, so this actually started during the budget discussions. And the reason it started during budget discussions in June is it takes three votes during budget discussions to get something approved to go in the budget. But outside of the budget at time, it actually takes four votes if you're going to spend money that's not in the budget, right? So luckily for us, initially the bridge was going to be a temporary bridge, not a removed bridge, but a temporary bridge that was over the kind of the floodplain area. So it would allow, because this bridge that we're talking about is actually what you called an Arizona crossing, which is a cement section that goes underneath the water, basically, in the winter. So it was cement, and you drive across the cement. It's on the ground. But now what happened was Fish and Wildlife said you can't do that anymore because it impedes the salmon, and so you have to lift the bridge up. So initially, when it was brought to the board, Mr. Paulding said it was going to be $250,000, and we all approved it. Because that's how much the bridge on Chimney Rock here in my district costs, about $250,000. So it made sense, right? But then the bridge is going to have to be removed because they weren't going to put it up high enough, so the bridge would not be high enough over the water. So they were going to have to remove it during the winter months when it rains, so the fish and everything, and it doesn't get swept out. And then they were going to have to put it back in April. So this bridge is going to go in and out and in and out and in and out, waiting for the permanent bridge to come in, the funding for the permanent bridge to come in. Now, I think they've got 60% of the bridge funded by the state and the federal government, the replacement bridge that will be there permanently. But so when it comes back, and this is the question I've asked many times, how did the price go from $250,000 to $750,000 for what I'm calling a temporary bridge? So it's temporary because it's only in 6 months, and then it gets removed, it gets put back in, it gets moved, and it's back and forth. Why is it so much more expensive than the bridge that they were going to do that was $250,000? I never did get an answer to that because I believe that this extra money is going to come from somewhere.
Well, they already said where it's coming from.
Right, it's coming
from. They're pulling from three or four other bridges. This was funding that could have been used on other bridges. They're going to be delayed.
And roads. It could have been used in roads, too, for road maintenance.
And this is not going to happen because there's a small group of homes that doesn't want to wait 15 minutes to get to town.
So. And there's some ag businesses. There's some good ag businesses that will want to cut the 10 minutes off and go straight in. Instead of coming around into Arroyo Grande, they want to come straight into Arroyo Grande. I get it. But as you said earlier, it's about 25 homes, 25 families back there, right? And so to me, it just doesn't make financial sense. But especially, why not just take, if you're going to do this on a temporary bridge, why not just take the $750,000 and put it towards the permanent bridge and speed up the permanent bridge? get the permanent bridge in faster. Let's get the funding for that. Let's figure out how we can throw everything at it to get the permanent bridge.
That sounds like a much better suggestion than just... But I don't know why this happened. Again, it did get passed. And in this way, on this one, John and Heather Moreno said, no, we want the money for other projects. And Bruce Gibson, Jimmy Paulding, and Don Ortiz-Legge voted yes. Let's move on to the budget.
Okay.
And I want to bring up something to everyone. The county had, last year, had about a $33 million budget. They were able to cost savings, get rid of people in some departments, do a lot of things, and they got it under control. But now we're back. And it's actually, they say it's going to be anywhere from 4 to 11 million, but it's actually right about 7.5 million is what they have it at. But there's a couple reasons here. Let's get back to the nonprofits. You lost Templeton Hospital. You lost Sierra Vista Hospital. They were part of the tax rolls.
Because they were purchased by nonprofits. Right. So just everybody understands that they are now off of the tax roll.
They're still operating businesses.
Right.
But now that they're nonprofits, they don't bring. And then another large building was sold to Cal Poly. All in all, it's almost $240 million of tax revenue was lost. All that doesn't go to the county. 67% goes to schools, and then some goes to the state, the county, cities. But there is a major budget deficit. They are discussing what they're going to do. This came out on Tuesday. We're going to take a caller and then get back to the budget. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask John today?
Good afternoon. I'm curious about that temporary bridge that the wildlife has a problem with.
The temporary bridge, yes.
Yeah, temporary bridge. But they have no problem with a couple hundred people living in the stream bed there. I'm wondering how the salmon get past them.
I don't think the salmon do get past them. I think that's a protein source. But
get into that river.
Right. And we have that here, obviously in North County in Paso, we have the San Luis Obispo River Creek, and then we have the Santa Maria Creek. So
hey, we're gonna have to take a break.
Music plan, so I'll let you go.
Thank you very much. We're gonna take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with John Fishon.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major average is notching a fourth day of gains ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday as rate cut optimism builds and tech rebounds. Dell shares jump more than 6% after the PC maker upped its outlook and says demand for its artificial intelligence products is soaring. On the downside, shares of Deere dropping 5% after the farm equipment company issued a downbeat forecast, citing pressure from tariffs. And shares of HP sliding more than 1% after the company announced a big cost-cutting plan yesterday that includes layoffs. The Dow closing up 314 points, the S&P 500 climbing 46 points, and the NASDAQ rising 189 points. The Dow winners, Boeing, Microsoft, and Walmart. The Dow decliners, Salesforce, Merck, and Honeywell International. That is your Fox Business Report. I'm Angelo Bavaro, invested in you.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. You'll find exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 50% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stiefel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stiefel, 238-3080.
Wesley with Stove and Spa Center. It's finally getting cool, and we don't want to leave you out in the cold. Stove and Spa Center has a great selection of stoves, inserts, and fireplaces to get you warm and cozy in your house this winter. Don't miss savings on freestanding stoves, gas inserts, and fireplaces. How would you like being warmer this winter and save money too? It's possible with a fireplace insert from Cozy Heat. Cozy Heat's highly efficient gas inserts and fireplaces come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero between Curb Rail and Laurel Roads.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili. I've got John Pashant, Slo County Supervisor, in the studio. Before we get to the next thing, you have decided to run again.
I have decided to run again. I'm not up for a couple more years, but there's a couple things I want to do. The number one thing is the Paso Basin. You know, I've been kind of kicked off the committees and moved out of the way and things like that. I truly believe that if I could find three votes, I think we can get it, you know, back under county control to be able to do it. And I do think we can implement the plan that's been approved by the Department of Water Resources.
Sounds good. Back to the you were answering a question about the bridge. Do you want to go back to that?
Yeah. So the bridge, you know, we were actually able to stop it about a month and a half ago with because it took a 4/5 vote. But Mr. Paulding looked at some other accounts and was able to find some additional revenue. And it would only take 3 votes, so he has moving the temporary bridge forward. I still think I don't understand. I mean, yes, we want people to have a bridge so they can leave that area and go into the city of Arroyo Grande. I don't deny that fact. My problem is the cost overrun, and then the ability that you have to pull it in and pull it out and pull it in and pull it out while we wait for funding from the federal and state government. So, but I do think it's going to be funded. It took a while for the Chimney Rock Bridge, which is, by the way, it's the only way in there is the Chimney Rock Bridge. We had to, when that bridge went out, we actually had to take boats and go from the marina at Heritage and go up there and deliver food and take the kids to school the other way and pick up trash and take that to the dump across the lake. And so that's what an emergency temporary bridge should do, is connect communities back in.
And I want to say something else that you were helping with.
Yes.
There was there are people that live at Nesamiento Lake, and they had addresses that they lived in Monterey County.
Yes.
And so they were having trouble getting mail. The county wouldn't respond to their houses at times. John Pashan was helping some of the neighbors. It is now, it's done.
Yeah,
it's they Lake have Nesamiento. Now made yep. it.
Lake Nesamiento.
Yes.
But one of the things that, the biggest motivator for me was that, if you, and their address was Bradley, you know, which is in Monterey County, you actually pay a higher insurance rate for your automobile insurance if your mailing address is Bradley than you do for Paso Robles or Lake Nacimiento or San Miguel. And so that's what was going on, is that when the insurance companies looked them up, they said, oh, you actually live in Monterey County. No, I don't. I live in, but we get our mail and it's registered as Bradley. And so we had a lot of help from Congressman Jimmy Panetta's office. They did a great job. We had Vicki Jansen, who worked with me, kind of took the shepherded that through for years. I mean, that we were talking about that 10 years ago. When I got first elected, and so finally we're able to get some.
About 6 months ago, this was done.
Yeah,
congratulations. That was very important to the people that lived there.
100%. And I'll tell you, you know, there was a lot of activism by the folks that live it around Lake Nacimiento to want to get this done too, because it was a motivator, right? You know, I want to be able to cut my insurance costs. My affordability came into this.
But a couple times they had emergencies and they called 911 and Slo County wouldn't respond. Monterey County wouldn't respond. And they said, we're in limbo land.
Yeah.
Nobody
and takes the lake water and the dam, that's all Monterey County, even though it's in San Luis Obispo County. And that happened, I don't know, 60 years ago when, or 70 years ago when the Board of Supervisors allowed Monterey County to build that dam. So they control that.
And let's get back to this budget shortfall. So first of all, explain what happened at the meeting.
So there is a budget shortfall this year. It's less, as you talked about it, we were close to $33 million last year. And the way we closed that is we eliminated about 168 positions that were vacant or that we had on the books. And then we also started cutting back on some of the expenditures. We avoided, and there's an easy way to do this in balancing the budget, and that's just saying we're going to raise taxes. Well, I've voted against every tax increase that's come before the board. I don't do that. And we've been able to stop them over the years, these tax increases. And so my belief is that, you know, that there's a, when you have 700 different programs and you have a $1 billion budget, there is a way to close the gap by a smaller, more efficient government, figuring out ways of efficiency to be able to kind of shrink. And so we did that. We said to eliminate 168 positions. I think in total it was closer to 300,000 eliminations. We were able to cut back on some of these programs. But the bigger problem has been last year was that the state government and the federal government were not funding the programs that they've asked us to set up. And the state government in their budget, they cut homeless programs, which they were all. Remember how hot everybody was on homeless programs. And we used that money effectively. Now, if you look at the counties around us, they had an increase in homelessness. We had a decrease. We had a 33% decrease in homelessness in San Luis Obispo County. It went from close to 1,600 people that were chronically homeless down to like 1,100.
That's excellent.
We actually used the money properly. But now they said, you know, which is what the state government, I see, because we dealt with this during COVID, where they would set the bar, we'd meet the bar, hit the bar, hit the goals, and they say, oh, sorry, we were just kidding, you're in with L.A. L.A.'s got to get to 10% of, you know, and then we'll talk to you again. And so, but this is the case here where they cut all the homeless money. So we have to adjust our budget based on those two budgets, the federal budget and the state budget, and what they send to our county. Because we have, as we said, 35% of the money right now in our budget comes from the state of California. And they're in the same. They're having to cut their budget. I think they're billions of dollars upside down right now. Their projection. So our goal. I look at this as kind of an opportunity to be able to work. You know, have the staff work and figure out ways to be able to shrink a little bit of the government and figure out how we can still provide the services that people depend on, but maybe cutting out some of those services that people don't use or aren't used effectively. And you're seeing this on a federal level, too, because they're right now looking at every single program saying, is this program, what's the waste, fraud, and abuse in these programs? Are these services being delivered? Who's taking advantage of these programs? Who's not? You know, who's using them the right way? And really, we need to do that analysis. And I think we will be doing that analysis. And I'll just add one thing. We have hired KPMG, which is a worldwide accounting firm, to be able to come in and tell us on how to efficiently run our programs and if we're spending too much money on them.
And I know you. The meeting on the Tuesday was a information only to the supervisors, and there was a massive list. It included putting a hiring freeze in. It included raising taxes and fees. It included a number of things. But one of the things they're doing first, they're going to ask every department to bring in their budget. And I don't, for those that missed the show last week with Tom Bordinaro, he said since he's been in office, he's actually 9 staffers down, I think 2 from last year. And as AI and computer systems get better, he's been able to run his department cheaper and cheaper. They're going to ask every department head to do a review of your department and come back. And then they're going to bring the answers to you in March, correct?
Correct. And I want to shout out to Tom Bordnar, our county assessor, because Tom continually, every year, has been able to return money to the general fund. And he does an incredible job of managing his budget and making sure that his operation always comes under budget. And so it's been really good working with him. And he is 100% accurate when he talks about the ability of the new technologies to be able to make government more efficient. And we've seen it on a national level. We haven't seen it normally on a state level yet, but I'm hopeful, you know, that they'll take a serious look at the state budget. But I do think that we've been able to do that, and I think we're going to be able to drive some efficiencies here that that people won't be expecting.
Of the different opportunities the staff gave to either cut expenses or to raise revenue, what did you support and what were you opposed to?
So I'm not a supporter of raising revenue, because that's just a fancy way to be able to say we're going to raise taxes on people and working families. And I haven't supported that in the past. I'm not going to support it, because I think with the size of our county government at $1 billion, I do think, you know, with close to 2,800 employees, you know, I do believe that we are in the process of identifying efficiencies and be able to do this through the way we can streamline government and make things easier for people. The programs that we offer, we have great programs. And our departments, we have 27 different departments. They run incredible programs. Are all of those programs needed? I don't know the answer to that, and that's why KPMG and their audit will be able to identify things that might not be working. And the example would be the inclusionary housing, which we talked about an hour ago. You know, the inclusionary housing fee was around. It was an idea that was started in some of the big cities. We adopted it years before I was on the board, and it just didn't deliver the results that they talked about, and it was a failed program. So at what point do you finally just pull the plug on a failed program and try to find another program that will deliver the results at a lower price? That's, to me, is kind of the beauty of going through these kind of budget balancing and tightening times. And we can do that. We did it last year. I think we're able to do it this year.
And this year, I think, with losing the tax revenue. And I also, I'm not, this I don't understand completely. You also used to get more money from Diablo Canyon.
Yes.
And when they were going to shut down, they were supposed to give you a chunk, but then they didn't shut down. And at some point, it was $22 million, I think.
Yes.
What is going on with the money from Diablo Canyon?
So you're exactly right. We were in the process of shutting down. Next year will be 4 years more on the extension. But Diablo Canyon has actually applied to stay open an additional 15 to 2045. If they're able to do that and we can rework the deal, we should be able to get the funding levels back up. And you've probably heard from a number of community schools down in South County that used to get a lot of money from Diablo Canyon, and they're looking at their budgets going, we're not getting as much. And it's because it's in limbo right now. It's, you know, with a 5-year, you know, and remember, this was all done because we were going to be a 100% renewable state within 5 years. And that's not going to happen. We don't have enough solar. We don't have wind. We don't have, you know, they do, by the way, they don't think that the hydro plants are green energy, so they have to be eliminated. You know, you eliminate your one nuclear power plant, which, by the way, is 10% of the state grid.
And hydro, okay, this is what a nerd I am. I actually look about once a year at the numbers for energy.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, hydro is going way up. Solar has gone way up. We're actually using less gas because solar and hydro are up so much. But hydro is significantly better than it was before.
It is, and some of it comes from out of state. And I think it's a great fit for this all above energy that we've been talking about. If we're going through an energy transition, we need to look at all kinds of energy to be able to do that. But that. The problem with the solar is that they need 740,000 acres more of solar to be able to be, you know, to be, and it, you can't build it that fast.
And solar only, the problem is,
it doesn't
we
work
have
at
enough
nighttime.
Solar. We can't do more. The problem with doing more solar is it doesn't work for nighttime. We have, you know, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But also, for 740,000 acres, you're going to have to cover valuable producing farmland with solar, and that's going to take food out of the way we feed the world through the San Joaquin Valley and through the Salinas Valley and all of those places. I mean, they're just covering valuable farmland up with solar is not the answer.
I don't think we need, I'm telling you, I think we're selling half our solar to other states.
Yeah.
So I don't think solar is the answer right now. Hydro, though, it's growing as fast as solar.
100%. But I will tell you this, that the new technologies of nuclear make it feasible for other communities to have much smaller nuclear plants that are working in other communities around the world. And also, the recycling of the nuclear waste will allow it to have a longer shelf life. And to me, we need to approve that. The state, the feds, the federal government, which the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, they need to approve the ability for people to be able to recycle nuclear waste.
We're going to take a break from our sponsors and be back with one more segment with John Fashan. So if you have a question, you need to call now.
Let's be honest, everyone hates putting up Christmas lights, so why not just skip it this year? The truth is, it's not about the lights. It's about creating the memories. It's about seeing the kids' faces light up and not spending all day hanging up lights. I'm Aaron King, the owner of Slow Holiday Lights. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. We design, install, maintain, and store the beautiful Christmas lights so you don't have to lift a finger. No ladders to fall off of, no tangled lights to mess with, no stress, period. Look us up at slowholidaylights.com.
Welcome to the All-Star Moments of Freedom. Now, if your happy place is somewhere you unwind with a cold drink, delicious food, and sports on more LED screens than you can shake a remote at, well, then the sports bar at Chumash is your new escape. Doesn't matter if you're cheering on your favorite team or just enjoying the vibe. It's game on, friend. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Bovino Vineyards in the beautiful hills of Templeton, home to diverse collection of standalone varietals and beautiful blends. Owner Dan Souza, grape grower and dairy farmer, chose the name Bovino, bovine for his dairy herd, and vino for his wines. Winemaker Steve Anglum says, if it's been a while or you haven't had a chance to visit Bovino, now is the time. Bovino Vineyards on El Pomar in Templeton open Friday, Saturday, and Monday. Enjoy the brilliant wines, the cozy tasting room, or out on the deck with breathtaking views.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I want to, we're going to do a couple updates on things in this last segment. Anyone that wants to call in, please call in now. Prop 50. So they were supposed to have a hearing next week. The state said, for us to put this together right, we need at least another week. And then I also The proponents of it said, would rather everything come out right. We want to, if you need a break, let's give it a break. How do you think this is going?
Well, first off, everybody's on the same page and knows where I stand. I did not support Prop 50. I voted
the redistricting.
Right, redistricting. I voted no. And I also signed an endorsement of the campaign, the no campaign. The governor, you know, and to me, this is once again a budget question. The governor cannot afford to give the counties money for very specific things that they've asked us to do, but he can spend $280 million on a special election. And to me, that blows me away, right? You know, so I understand that he's going to run for president, that this is his big issue. I got it. But that's a lot of money from the taxpayers of California, the 43 million people that live here. I do think that if you look at election law, that there are some openings to be able to get Prop 50 thrown out, this mid-decade redistricting.
For partisan purposes, they were clear.
Yes. And if you look at some of those districts, right, you look at the first district, which is all of the northern counties, and then it snakes its way down and takes in a population center in the Bay Area. To me, that tells you that, you know, what they were doing. They weren't shy about it. They said, you know, this is to offset, you know, this is how we're going to do it. But I do believe from our standpoint in California, it's probably a legal map. But from the federal government, I'm not really sure it takes. The Voting Rights Act is probably been violated.
Well, for those that don't know what happened, after it was passed, there was a lawsuit first by the Republican Party, and then the federal government prosecutors joined in out of L.A., Bill Saley's, the leader's office. I find that funny how that went down. But anyway, they say that there are emails and there were statements made that we are doing this to give the Hispanic voters more districts. The problem is Hispanic voters are now the dominant voter in the state of California. You cannot give the dominant group for race. You know, you can't say, okay, we're going to give whites more power. You can't give the number one voting population more power based on the color, you know, where they come from. Now they're trying to say, oh, we said that, but that wasn't our main reason. It was mostly political. You said it, you put it out there. Mm-hmm. That's the big argument.
Yeah, and it's going to go before a court. They're going to make decisions, and you can just see where this is going to go. And so, but the bigger problem, though, is you've got an election in 7 months where these congressional seats will be on the ballot. And so they're going to have to jam it through to get the courts to make the decision. And then if there's appeals, get them the appeals done and be able to move on it. I actually think they could do it. I think that they could probably get to the point where the maps are thrown out. And this really has nothing to do with the map that we support, a patent map we supported at the Board of Supervisors, which, by the way, I still believe was a legal, proper map. And I
it
wish
was squares.
You know, yeah.
They literally took the fingers going down into San Luis Obispo from District 4. They literally made it into squares.
Yeah.
And the judge did not deny that. They claimed it was racist. The judge said it wasn't racist. They were losing. Jimmy Paulding got elected, and they said, oh, we're just going to settle with them.
Yep.
They didn't have to settle. They were winning.
Yeah.
They settled because Jimmy Paulding and Bruce Gibson didn't like the map that didn't have the gerrymandering in it.
So it put me back into the district that I've won every time now. And so I still represent San Miguel and Paso Robles and Templeton and Shandon and all the little, and Bitterwater. I always don't leave out Bitterwater and Roblar, the town of Roblar. So, but I do think that that's coming. I think that that's going to be, you know, it's going to be litigated. And we'll see where it goes. I'm hoping that the courts deny it and throw it out.
It'll be very soon.
Yeah.
And I actually think if they don't deny it, it'll leave California and go to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll move rapidly.
Yes, I would hope it does. Yep. So we can get we can keep the old map and keep, because there's some good, obviously they targeted some very good congressmen. You know, Kevin Kiley would be one, Daryl Issa would be a second one, you know, that would probably be in a much tougher district if this map stays in place.
And I want to get in a little bit before you leave to all the fights over ICE, which I find this shocking because ICE has always been around. They've always been removing criminal immigrants. But the Tribune today on the front page, oh, two people were taken from the jail. So what happens is ICE watches when people are being released that are here illegally and are criminals, and they wait for them out at the jail and they take them into custody and deport them. There's a group that watches them. But at the same time, now that people are really watching this, we're finding out every time someone that commits a crime was an illegal immigrant. And the shocking thing to me is the number of, and I don't mean crimes. I don't mean, I shouldn't say it that way. I don't mean breaking into cars. I'm talking the serious violent crimes in our community. So, for example, we had the murder in Arroyo Grande. We had the man that left his kid in a car and the child died. And most recently, we had an undocumented man that was living in San Luis Obispo, and he dealt drugs. And he focused on children under 16 years of age, which I've never noticed. Why would you focus on children? And he also, though, was focused on, he would sell them drugs, and sometimes not what they ordered, and then he would trade drugs for them. So he would trade drugs to do sexual things. And we're talking children under 16. So we're not talking older children. Most recently, the feds are now going after this man. They took it away from San Luis Obispo County, which often happens because this is more of a federal issue. But this man actually asked a young girl to meet him. He was going to sell her some type of drug. He was actually selling her meth with fentanyl in it. Mm. And he was going to give her either a break in the price or free drugs to meet him inside Mission Church and do some things. I don't want to get graphic on the air. But then you have other groups going, don't deport him. I'm surprised. I understand we have some great immigrants here. We have people we need to help find ways to become citizens. But when you have this type of criminal, I don't understand why people are fighting to keep them here.
It to me, and this is, you know, a lot of these do revolve around drugs and drugs in our community. And that is, to me, I think that's actually the biggest area of focus that we need to continue to focus on. The southern border, it has been secured, so we don't have a lot of fentanyl coming across, but we still have it in the community. I believe if you look at it, I think the methamphetamine use is actually up, and so I think focusing on that is true. These are crimes, you know, and they're being dealt with on a state level, county level, state level, and federal level, I'm the same as you, is that when it comes to the fact that, you know, these heinous crimes are being committed, and then they're telling us, people are telling us that we can't remove this person from our community. And I don't buy that, because our primary goal of government is to make your community safe. And public safety got replaced years ago when we lost the majority, and it's been put back on the goals. It's the number one issue, public safety is. And I believe all the supervisors, well, maybe four of the supervisors are on board with that being there. And that's going to make a difference.
Who is not?
Well, I think we all know who's
Gibson or Paulding.
Supervisor Gibson. But remember, Supervisor Paulding has an election next year, so he is supporting.
And Dan Dow is actually prosecuting this man.
He is doing an incredible job. Dan Dow, the sheriff, our probation department, they're all doing an incredible job to be able to help in this fight against the narcotics in our community. And the overdoses. We've had, you know, we have a really big problem with overdose and suicide and things like that, all related to the power of a lot of these narcotics.
And I'm just surprised that some people are fighting. I agree.
Yeah.
Immigration is very complicated.
Yeah.
But I think when you have someone that's dealing drugs to children and sexual misconduct, I don't understand why anyone would fight for him.
And you know, we see about it on the nightly news every night. We hear about it in the newspapers. But you're talking about a very small group of people, but these crimes are heinous. And we have to deal with them on a basis.
Thank you very much for coming on the
show. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening. I will not be here tomorrow. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.